good. Well, you can grab your seats, sit back, relax, eat your chocolate that hopefully you've got already, maybe. It's great to have you. Easter Sunday, such an exciting week to be together all around the world. And we want to say hi to all of our North Manchester, South Manchester, Central Manchester and Chester location, as well as audacious people all around the world. It's so good to have you here. Happy Easter. And we've got an exciting morning today and tonight. We're talking about the original Easter story in Luke chapter 20. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to turn there to Luke chapter 24, if you can do that. Verse number one. I'm going to read and then we're going to pray together. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they're wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." Verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11. And to all the others, all Jesus' followers, disciples, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Verse 13. Now on the same day, Easter Sunday, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. We see here in Luke chapter 24, the response to the story, the witness of these women about Jesus' body not being in the tomb. We see two men. Their response is to go back to the tomb, to go to Jesus. And we see two of the disciples in that room who go away. The title of the message this morning on Easter Sunday is Hotter, Hotter, Colder, Colder. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you for every amazing, audacious person, wherever they're streaming in from today. We thank you, God, that you are alive. You are with them wherever they are. You are with their businesses. You're with their families, with their children. We thank you, God, you're with us today. You're alive. And we thank you. We get life today because of the life you've given us. We thank you, Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know if you've got young children like me. If you have, you've probably already done your Easter egg, giveaway, your Easter egg hunt. There we go. Easter egg hunt. And what we'll do in our house is obviously we'll hide all the eggs around and even in this season, maybe trek out into the garden and the kids will be finding Easter eggs everywhere. And the simple way to get to the Easter eggs is simply by saying, hotter, hotter, colder, colder. The more hot we get is the closer we are to the eggs. And on the other side, if they're walking further away from the eggs, we're like, cold, you're getting freezing cold. Now you are like in the Antarctic or Manchester. You are freezing. And so our language, colder and hotter, describes our proximity to the eggs. The truth is, every one of us, at whatever stage of life we're at, whatever stage of our relationship, friendship with God, we all have the option and ability to make decisions today that will get us closer into our proximity and presence of God, or conversely, will take us away from our relationship and awareness of God. We can get hotter today with God, or we can go colder from God. Here in Luke chapter 24, we see these women who have come back from the tomb and they come to this room and this room is locked up. And in this room, self-isolating, first century style, is Jesus's disciples. His followers are locked in this room. John chapter 20 tells us that this room is locked up in fear. And so the disciples are sat in there in this room, are the great legends and heroes that we would think of the faith that started the church and we would look up to and think, what, these men and women of God are the people that we need to be like. And yet the Bible clearly says in this moment, they are in a room self-isolating and they're locked up in fear. They've got the fridge against the door. They're in fear that the Jewish leaders are going to come and get them, that their names are next on the hit list. And so they're in this room afraid, and yet the women come back with this news about an empty tomb. And we see in that moment, this news creates two responses. It's the same classic two responses that we all have in life. Fight or flight. Fight or flight. Instantly we see Peter, who's the fight response. He hears this news that the tomb's empty and he thinks, I've just got to get to the action. I'm out of here. And so he's straight out the room. He's kind of asking questions on the way. He's running to where the action is. He wants to get to Jesus. But on the other side, we see two disciples and their response is completely opposite. Rather than fight, their response is flight. They don't think we need to get to the action. We need to get to Jerusalem. We need to get to Jesus. But they say we need to run away. We're out of here. So the Bible says in Luke 24 verse 11 that these two followers, these two disciples make their way out, further out of Jerusalem, away from the action, away from purpose, to a town called Emmaus. Emmaus in the Bible literally means warm baths. Warm baths. Have you ever had something happen to you or a disappointment, a piece of news, and you just thought, man, I just need a hot bath. Like, I just need to escape for a minute. I just need to find some comfort. I just need to settle for a moment. I know guys at home, you've had this moment and you've thought, I just need the candles out. I need the bath bomb. I need the incense. I need the sound of whales. I just need a warm bath. And so that's literally what these disciples are doing. They hear this news that the tomb is empty. And in this moment, they don't think we need to get to Jesus. They think we just need a warm bath. We need to get out of here. So the Bible says these two make their way out, away from the action, and they make their way to Emmaus. They're literally walking. Every step that they take on the road to Emmaus is another step away from purpose, another step away from Jesus. Every step is filled with disappointment, disillusionment. Every step is a step getting colder and colder and colder. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24 that visibly on their face, you could see the disappointment. They've heard this news that the tomb is empty. In a sense, in this moment, this news means everything they had put their hope in, everything that they had had faith for, everything that they had given their life up until this point for was gone because they didn't know what was happening. The Bible's clear that they didn't understand what Jesus had been promising while he was walking with them. They didn't know what was about to happen. They didn't know what this meant for the tomb to be empty. And so now every step away from Jerusalem, their heart is getting cold. They're getting filled with disappointment and they're walking away from promise. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But in this moment, their hearts are not just deferred. Their hope's not just deferred. Their hope is completely destroyed. In fact, they say to themselves, we had hoped. We had hoped. One time we had hope, but not now. I wonder where you're at today and whatever's happened in your life up until this point. If you were to think back over the years of your life, at which point did you have great hope? Did you have incredible faith, the way of faith? At which point in your life was your love put into action and you were reaching out with purpose in your life? You had faith, hope, and love. And yet now, if you were really honest, you'd say, we once had hope. Maybe you're sat here on Easter Sunday and you are disappointed. You're thinking about what's happened in my life to bring me to this point. And yet what's incredible about Luke chapter 24 is in this moment, with these two disciples walking away from promise, getting colder and colder and colder, ironically walking to their warm bath of comfort, but in their heart and purpose getting colder and colder, it's in this moment Jesus steps in. Jesus steps in, not when the disciples are facing him, not when they've got faith, not when they're expecting him to move, not when they're full of anticipation and expectation, not when they're saying, wow, Jesus is risen, but when they're walking away, when they're disappointed and faithless, Jesus steps in. And the good news today is wherever you're at, Jesus walks with you. Jesus walks with these disciples, Luke 24 says. As the great philosopher, theologian, and poet Kanye West once said, Jesus walks, and Jesus walks with you, even in your disappointment. Jesus walks with you, even when you're faithless. Jesus walks with you, even when you've lost your hope. Jesus stands beside you. Jesus walks with you. I think of Peter, who was sinking in a lack of faith. And it's even when Peter was sinking, Jesus reached out and picked him up. And even when Peter was faithless, Jesus was faithful. I think of Thomas, who had doubts and questions and thought, I just cannot believe. And yet Jesus showed him his hands, said, I'm with you. And he picked Thomas up and he answered every question, not in the logic of his mind, but by his very presence. And today in your room, Jesus wants to presence with you. He wants to walk with you in your situation. He wants to walk with you wherever you are today in your heart. Whether you'd say, I feel far from God. Whether this is the first service you've ever watched online and you feel I could never be part of a church or connected with a God. And yet today, God is walking with you. In fact, just as in Luke 24, when the disciples did not even recognize Jesus was standing with him, I think how many times in my life I've felt Jesus is anywhere but close. I felt like Jesus is so far away. And yet even in those moments, Jesus has been right there walking with me. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 16 that they did not recognize who was walking with him. Think about this for a moment. These followers of Jesus, they'd spent time with him. They'd heard his promises. They'd heard his teaching. There was a certain familiarity with him. And yet in this moment, as Jesus walks with them away from Jerusalem, away from the action, away from what was going on, maybe away from purpose, Jesus walks and they feel like they're getting colder and colder and colder, and they're so disappointed and hopeless and they don't even recognize Jesus is standing there right with him. I guess we've all experienced moments like that in our life where something has hit us so hard that in that moment we're blinded to the fact the presence of God is with us. I remember when my dad died a few years ago, and on hearing that news at night, instantly there's almost a cloud came over, and in a moment I felt numb to anything except this overarching sense of grief, disappointment, and in the physical finality. And these people are walking away and they feel like hope is gone. They feel like hope is disappointed. They feel like everything that they had hoped and believed in is over. And so they're blinded to the presence of Jesus. But it does not change the fact that Jesus is faithful. Jesus walks with us whatever we're going through, whether we recognize him or not, whether we sense his presence or not. Jesus is with you today, right where you are. And they get to Emmaus and Jesus, I love how when they get to where they were going, they're about to go in and eat a meal and sleep in Emmaus, and Jesus just hovers by the door. Ever had someone knock on your door, maybe over the last few weeks, and you're like, maybe should I let them in? Like they're just hanging around and they've kind of done what they needed to do, asked the question or given you the thing that they were delivering, and then they just stand there. This is Jesus right now in Emmaus. Like the disciples are like, so great chatting with you, and you know, so we're just staying here tonight, so you know, see you later. And Jesus is still there, you know, that moment. And so they're like, no, okay, we're going to bed now. You know, is that the time? Like, we're tired. So I know you're busy. You've got things to do, places to go. So night, we'll see. No, he's still there. And it's that moment of thinking, oh man, this is super awkward. Maybe we're just going to have to invite him in for dinner. So in Luke 24, they literally invite him in for dinner. But it's amazing how Jesus enters their room and enters their house. And as they sit down, as they have a meal, as Jesus breaks bread, suddenly something changes. And in a moment, faith fills their heart. In a moment, they see the one who had always been walking with them. Even when they felt hope was gone, hope was standing with them. Even when they felt like he had been faithless, they'd lost faith, he was faithful. Even when they felt like Jesus was so distant, he was standing right there with them. Even when they felt their purpose was gone, purpose had met them right there. And over a meal, the light bulb goes on. They see Jesus is with me. He's been walking with me this whole time. Right now, we are praying and standing with you that on this Easter Sunday, you are going to see Jesus. Your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to sit down and understand Jesus. I felt like you were so far away and yet you've been with me the whole time. I felt like I've been walking on my own and yet you're with me the whole time. I felt like my purpose was finished, I was gone, and yet you're with me. I still got a reason to live. And in that moment, everything changes. No, it's one encounter with Jesus, one revelation, one light bulb moment. One understanding that God's with me changes their direction, changes their destination, changes their purpose, changes everything about their life. In a moment, they wake up in the morning and they turn back to Jerusalem. They turn back to purpose. They turn back and having experienced and a portion of their life getting colder and colder and colder. One encounter with Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in Luke chapter 24, as they were chatting with Jesus, they said, wow, weren't our hearts burning within us? Weren't our hearts burning within us? Jeremiah says, God's word is like fire shut up in my bones. Oh, I can't contain it. When God speaks to you, when God shows himself to you, when God reveals himself to you, it's like fire in your spirit. And we're praying right now for fire wherever you are to fill your room, to fill your space, to fill your heart, to fill your mind for new purpose, new hope, new ideas, new creativity, a new sense of who God is to fill your heart, to fill your mind. Because God wants to turn your situation around. Just as he is resurrected, he resurrects these followers' purpose. And even in the situation we're in our nation and in this world, God is about to resurrect something. He's about to turn a situation around. is going to use something that could have been so bad and turn it for incredible good. And God's going to do the same for you in your life, in your business, in your family. God is about to resurrect something on Easter Sunday. May faith arise in your spirit right now. May the fire of God come. Can you imagine them walking back to Jerusalem? They were walking so slowly, colder, colder, colder. And yet the next day, hotter, 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 hotter. I can imagine them running back to Jerusalem, running back to purpose, getting ready. Because in a few days, Jesus has said, if you wait here, fire's hit your hearts. It's about to hit this nation. Fire's about to fill every person. And in a few days, the Holy Spirit's going to baptize you. We want to pray for you where you are today, that you're going to be filled with the power of God, filled with the creativity of God, filled with His power and His presence, that your room, your family, your space will be flooded with the presence of God. I wonder if you could just take a moment right now and just, maybe you want to close your eyes just to focus. Maybe you want to bow your heads. We'd love to give you a chance just to acknowledge God and invite Him into your life. You know, it's how Jesus didn't force Himself on the followers, the disciples. He waited for the invitation. And the Bible says that Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. And the promise is if we would open the door, He'll come in. Jesus never forces Himself on us. But He does wait at the entrance to our heart. He'll wait long enough for you to understand you can make a decision. Today He's been knocking at your heart and He's asking, today, do you have room for me in your life? I wonder if you could ask yourself that question right now. Jesus, can I make space for you? Maybe you're watching for the first time. You've never given God space, but today on Easter Sunday, 2020, you're like, today, I'm going to have the courage to open the door of my heart and let Jesus into my life. I wonder if you'd pray with me, either you can pray out loud or in your heart. Dear Jesus, thank you for being there. Even when I didn't know you were with me, you were there. Even when I walked away from you, you found me. Today, you're connecting with me. You're knocking on the door of my heart. And today I say, come in. I want to turn away from my old life. I want to turn away from walking away from you. And today I turn 180 degrees. I want to follow you. I want to walk towards you. I want to live for you from this day forward. Today is a brand new day. Today is a brand new start. Today I have a second chance. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.